The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, October 15th, and what a wet weekend we are coming out of. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is celebrating his wife Ann's birthday with a trip to the Central Oregon coast. They've been posting some beautiful shots on his Facebook page. And how many people can say that they actually went to Oregon to escape the rain? Bill can, and the photos keep coming, and they're terrific. Keep doing it, Bill. We are enjoying them. You can catch the show live Monday through Friday, noon to 1, on KVOI 10:30 a.m., or you can live stream at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can also find archives of past shows all the way back to 2011 at buckmastershow.com. We start off the week talking to our experts during the Monday political face-off, and today is a particularly timely show as we welcome John Munger and Vince Robago. After the break at 12:30, we're going to be talking to Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. Please join the conversation by calling the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. It is time for our Monday political face-off. We're joined by political commentators Vince Robago and John Munger. The Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, all art, picture framing, and hanging services and systems. They have everything, and they do it right over at Moe's. That's Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, you can find them on Facebook. Vince and John, did you guys keep dry this weekend?
Great weekend, wasn't it?
It was a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, quite a bit of rain
there. I love
it. Yeah, I had to get up on the roof yesterday to fix a couple cracks even
right.
With all that rain. Nothing like a little wet, dry cement there.
Yeah. Super glue works too, I found, by the way.
There you go.
And then the next time it rains, you got to do it again. So Martha McSally and Kristen Sinema, what a race. These are two Senate candidates. They are going to debate this evening. It's 6 p.m. at azcentral.com if you are following along and want to listen in. John, what should we look for in this? And as we just heard on the news, the latest poll has McSally up by 6 points.
That's right, 6 points. I think that you're going to see the candidates distinguishing themselves. There's going to be a lot of attacking going on. I think that you're going to see McSally attacking Sinema, trying to expose Sinema for the liberal, radical liberal that she is. People are aware of a lot of the things that Sinema has done. She had hoped behind the scenes, but McSally is going to make those well known. And I think you're going to be hearing a lot about the border as well. So you're going to see a lot of attacking of Sinema, a lot of defense by Sinema, and you're going to hear a lot about the immigration. And then you're going to see Sinema trying to pin Trump on McSally, and it will be very interesting to see McSally's response to that. She cannot afford to separate herself from Trump. She has been a good Trump supporter. I don't think she will separate herself from Trump.
Vince, I don't know that the radical liberal label is really going to play. Down in Green Valley, it isn't. People down there think that Kyrsten Sinema actually is not as far left as they would like for the most part. What do you think we're going to see tonight?
Well, I think you are going to see a little bit of what John said. I think you're going to see Sinema trying to cast those labels. But the reality is voters are much smarter than, the ones that pay attention are much smarter than we give them credit for oftentimes when we're having these sort of discussions.
I agree with that.
And they're going to see through it. They've seen this barrage of misleading advertisements against Sinema. And I thought Sinema's campaign did a tremendous job, as nimble of a job as I could see a campaign do, to show like what the McSally campaign left off of the story. And so typically, oftentimes, attack ads, sometimes they work to depress turnout, but where they don't work is when the people pushing the negative, misleading, the tech ags are shown to be false. And so that, I think, was a very effective retort. I know that the Cinema Campaign recently released like a sort of a one-minute sort of advertisement, like a closing pitch to voters. Somebody that I know that really hasn't been watching too much of this saw that and told me, wow, they thought that was the best. They'd seen a few of the cinema ads on both sides, and they thought that was the best ad they'd seen, and they thought that a lot of voters were going to be swayed by that. So I think you're going to see something. You're going to see attacks by McSally, and then I don't agree with John that you're going to see. Well, I'm not part of the Cinema Campaign, but I predict that you're not going to see Cinema saying Trump, 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 Trump. She doesn't have to do that because she can just point to the terrible voting record of McSally, voting to try to kill health care, voting for these tax bills that we now know are essentially exploding the government debt. These other issues where she has tried to stay out of the public eye and refused to comment because she didn't want to expose herself, but the votes are there. And so Cinema, I think, is going to present her side of the story about herself, talk about issues. She's been there 3 terms, I believe. And so I don't know that you're going to see the same kind of image that John presented. But then the question is really, in today's day and age, what impact does a debate like this have? It's going to be move people, but then the question is what do people like Dan, your position, the writers, the newspapers, the media, what are they going to take away and present from the debate? I think that's really is what we're going to see.
I couldn't agree more. I think the way this is played by the media is going to be critically important. Not all that many people are going to watch this debate in terms of the percentage of the voters because people just don't watch. I mean, I think the debate will be lucky to get 10% of the voters listening to it. But what will happen is that the media will pick it up, and the question is, how will the media play it? And then you're going to see a whole new round of ads by the two candidates closing out the campaign based upon this debate. The ads you've been seeing are fine on both sides, but you're going to see a new round of ads playing from this debate. So the combination of the media coverage of this and the new ads that come out are going to determine this, I think.
And it's also the other aspect that isn't mentioned is it's not just that. It's also, you know, there's some things that aren't going to be, you can't spin. You know, it's not the question of how the media portrays it. I'm just saying, like, what facts are going to be stated or what positions or how people present themselves. That part you really can't spin. That's on video. People can see that. And it's also going to impact the base on either side of the aisle, people that are supporting Christian Cinema, people that are supporting McSally. And does that energize them more in the last few weeks? So that's also a very key thing to consider when you're looking at these sort of debates.
I think that's right. It's going to be partially a momentum. Who can develop momentum from this? And as always happens, and I know Vince will agree with me, it's a lot is going to depend upon if there's some type of reportable flash line by either of the candidates who makes some statement that really attracts the press attention it's a bumper sticker statement by either of the candidates that kind of summarizes it in the eyes of the press.
And it's been no secret that both of them have not been available to the press as much as we would like. And so when you talk about a bumper sticker statement, are you talking about saying something out of line, something that is going to reflect on them negatively, or are you talking about a zinger?
A zinger. A zinger. It could reflect, it could be anything. It could reflect on a candidate. It could be a mistake by a candidate. It could be some type of zinger attack on the other candidate, some type of memorable line, New Deal, caught on from a speech that FDR made. Happen to be talking about that because I'm reading a book on FDR. But the presidents and candidates make statements that get picked up by the press and then spread through the press to the public.
Vince, if voters are smarter than we give them credit for, why does a zinger matter?
Well, it matters because sometimes it brings laser-like focus to either a particular issue or a particular mistake or position of a candidate. So it really kind of depends. And so sometimes what you'll see is that's been the problem, I think, with McSally's advertising, the misleading campaign, because a lot of them are trying to present zingers. Like, for example, they took this comment out of context where they were talking about crazy GOP in Arizona and had to do with the legislature and many of the very extremist legislators that we do have in Arizona. I mean, we got guys up Mojave County flying, the Confederate flag. We got people trying to put guns into bars. In fact, on national comedian shows, I forget what show it was, they were calling Arizona the meth lab for democracy. So people can see that. And so the question is does Sinema have to take any time to respond to those things? Does McSally try to keep pushing these things that just don't fit? Voters know whether it's a round peg or a square, square peg go into a round hole or not? And they can see that. So some things you don't have to respond to, other things you do, and how you respond to it might make a difference.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Remember, the Political Face-Off is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And don't forget, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's the place for European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, brownies. Owner Steve and Sherry are open for lunch right now. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. That's moesgallery.com, and of course you can find them on Facebook. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster. You've caught us in the middle of the Monday Political Face-Off with John Munger and Vince Robigo. We just summed up the tonight's debate between Martha McSally and Kyrsten Sinema. That's at 6 o'clock at azcentral.com, which is the website of the Arizona Republic. Let's change focus here to a local race, Congressional District 2. That's Leah Marquez Peterson versus Ann Kirkpatrick. And John, the National Republican Congressional Committee had pulled an ad buy, substantial one, for Leah Marquez Peterson out of this market recently. Is it over for her?
Well, I don't think it's over for her. She still has a chance to attack. Obviously, that's not a good sign, and it would be disingenuous to say it's okay. That's not a good sign, but she is behind in the polls and substantially behind in the polls. She needs to hit harder. The issue is Leah is a very nice person, and she really is a gentlewoman, in my opinion, and she needs to hit harder. She needs to hit harder on the fact that Ann Kirkpatrick is a carpetbagger from Flagstaff and that she doesn't have any familiarity with our issues down here. Leah needs to attack that issue very hard. And she also needs to attack more on the issue that statistically, Democrats in the House in particular, but also in the Senate, will vote with Nancy Pelosi. And that. You know what you're doing when you pick candidates in the Congress, you're picking somebody who's going to vote with that caucus. So if you elect Ann Kirkpatrick, you're picking somebody who's going to vote with Nancy Pelosi every single time. And I don't think that's what the people in Southern Arizona want. I think the other issue, that getting back to Martha needs to hit the same thing on Kyrsten Sinema. Kyrsten Sinema is going to vote with Chuck Schumer every single time. And I don't think that's what the people in Southern Arizona want.
Vince, to John's point, Ann Kirkpatrick did seem weak in her debate last week on specific issues to Southern Arizona. Can she get her act together if we send her to Congress from
City 2? I think she has her act together, and I think that's why the NRCC, the Republican Congressional Committee, Candidate Committee, is pooling their money. They spend a lot of money on polling. They know what the voters and their voters are saying and thinking. And the thing is that Ann is a Democrat, of course, but she takes care of her district. She knows she's been down here quite a bit. Her district covered part of Pima County. And she was, always down here. You know, she convinced voters up in Saddlebrook to vote for her when she was running for Congress up in the other district, and she's thoughtful about the issues. She's fought for the VA. Voters see that, and so that is probably the reason that they're doing this polling. They know that there are plenty of non-party eyes only Republicans that are supporting her, along with independents and of course Democrats and other people who are not affiliated, and they see the writing on the wall. Now, can I say that it's over? There's still days before election. People are voting right now, but I think that's what's happening is people are comfortable. They also, this issue, nobody's really getting convinced on either side of the aisle about voting for a certain candidate means you get Paul Ryan. They're looking at the candidates, and they're also wanting a check and balance in our government. And I think what voters are seeing across the country is that they're seeing an administration that has no real check, and people want that. People want some responsibility, some accountability, and that's why you're going to see, I think, Republicans vote for Democratic candidates in races where maybe they wouldn't have in the past.
John, I've heard people say that Leah Marquez Peterson perhaps has not leveraged her very strong contacts in southern Arizona as she should have for support. And also, they're just not real excited about her candidacy. Frankly, she wasn't out there very much outside of GOP-specific events. It was like pulling teeth to get her to talk to us, and in the end, it didn't work out because she was being very tightly handled, and that was very frustrating for us in the press. Meanwhile, the Democrats had been out there for over a year doing public forum after public forum, and we knew where they all stood. Did she make some strategic mistakes in this campaign?
I don't think that she's made any strategic mistakes. I think that her error so far is she isn't hitting hard enough. She needs to hit harder on those southern Arizona issues. You are right. Kirkpatrick didn't do a good job on southern Arizona issues, and Leah did a great job on those southern Arizona issues in their debate. And also, but at the same time, Leah needs to slug at her. You know, Congress, you got to be tough. And I want to see a fighter who will come out and just say, frankly, if you vote for Ann Kirkpatrick, you're voting for Nancy Pelosi, period. And people don't want that. Ann Kirkpatrick is going to be forced to vote with Nancy Pelosi 95% of the time, 99% of the time. And that's not what the people in southern Arizona want. So Leah needs to attack on that issue as well as the southern Arizona issues, combined with the fact that Ann Kirkpatrick is a carpetbagger from Flagstaff. What the heck is she doing down here pretending that she understands our issues? That's what Leah should be saying.
It doesn't convince voters to keep saying that. You can convince yourself that it's making progress by calling her that, but it doesn't, because, you know, Ann Kirkpatrick went to law school here. She worked at the county attorney's office here, and she has maintained those ties in southern Arizona. Out of all the candidates across, you know, sometimes those candidates from different areas will come down to Tucson. She has been down here, so that's why that's not getting a lot of traction.
Well,
okay, we're going to go to the phones real quick. Julie, are you on the line?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I have to say that I would be embarrassed to be a Democrat from this district and have my representative show up looking poor as I don't know who gave her the appearance, the dead-end hair, the straight, the way she dressed. That's not Ann Kirkpatrick, and she thinks this district is poor and dumb. And I would be embarrassed. She doesn't know us. She is a carpetbagger. And the last time she was in this area representing, she in District 1 over there, she voted with Pelosi 100% of the time. She's a carpetbagger. She misspoke. And I watched the debate. I thought Marquez was just fabulous. But just the fact that Ann Kirkpatrick thinks that this area is nobody and stupid, I am embarrassed.
Okay, thank you, Julie. Vince, are we stupid?
Well, we're not stupid, and neither is the National Republican Congressional Candidates Committee. And so, unfortunately, that committee, the Republican committee, which works on a national level, disagrees with you, ma'am. And they have decided that it's not worth investing in the Marquez campaign any further. And to cast aspersions about how somebody looks and that they therefore think we're dumb, I just don't think that's a legitimate position. So I'm not even going to respond to that.
Well, I will respond to that.
And just reflect on you.
Pardon?
No, go ahead.
I think that Julie is absolutely right that that Ann Kirkpatrick see what's attracted Julie and her enthusiasm in this campaign against Kirkpatrick and for Leah is exactly what I said. It's that Kirkpatrick is a carpetbagger who doesn't know southern Arizona issues and will vote with Pelosi, as Julie said, 100% of the time.
Now that's just bunk.
Well,
whatever
the percentage is, it's heavy. She will have no choice but to vote with Nancy Pelosi a very heavy percentage of the time. Everybody knows it, and you can't avoid it. She will have no choice. All you got to do is look at the Democrats working in lockstep with Pelosi every single time. So that's what Leah, all I'm saying is that's what Leah needs to be selling. And she needs to go out and hammer away at it. And she can win this race if she will get tough and hammer those issues.
Now, I have to say that I was at several of the Democratic debates, and Ann Kirkpatrick was the only candidate who put some light between herself and the others. So she is willing to step out there. But, Vince, is it a tremendous amount of pressure when you're in Congress to go along with the leader?
Well, I mean, that's what political parties are all about. And so the reality is whether you're talking about Ryan on the other side or Pelosi. And the other thing is we don't know because they have leadership elections. So this is based on this idea that she's likely to be a leader. We don't know. And so to me, that doesn't really carry any real water. We've seen that voters know that, for example, VA is very important for Southern Arizona. We've got a big military community. We've got Sierra Vista, and certainly we got the VA here. People know that Ann Kirkpatrick, when there were issues that were exposed with it, she was leading the charge, demanding accountability, trying to force reforms at the VA. So to say that she doesn't know Southern Arizona issues really doesn't capture the real picture. And you know, as far as her independence, she's been known to be a more conservative Democrat on certain issues. And so that's why, like I say, that's why the Republicans are making their decision to withdraw their financial support right now.
Okay.
I will make you a bet. I'll bet you a nickel that if Ann Kirkpatrick is elected, and we'll find out in 2 years, I will bet you a nickel that she will vote with the Democratic leadership, whether it's Nancy Pelosi or not, at least 90% of the time. And we'll just see how that works out. But you've got to understand that's the way Congress works. She will have no choice. She will vote with the Democrats at least 90% of the time. You're on for a nickel, Vince.
Deposit it here with Dan, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong with that. That's why you have political parties, and that's what the leadership's all about. So it's not an argument that sways me, but leave your nickel with Dan, and we'll go for it.
Okay, we'll check back in a couple of years if Ann Kirkpatrick wins that race. That's going to wrap up the Monday Political Face-Off. My thanks to Vince and John. We hope you both have a great week. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is proud to present the Political Face-Off. Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge, at moesgallery.com, and on Facebook. When we return, we're going to be joined by Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. A lot to do there. In fact, I just had a friend who headed over a couple of weeks ago. He and his wife loved it. You can explore historic downtown Silver City or visit the world-famous Quiff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit Southwest New Mexico. org. We welcome to the show Steve Christie. He is the Pima County Supervisor for District 4. Welcome, Steve.
Well, thanks for having me. Always great to be with a District 4 business, particularly the Green Valley Sun and the Sahuarita Sun, Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun.
Very good. You know, I like to just kind of give people kind of the lay of the land. District 4 is huge. I know it includes parts of Sahuarita and all of Green Valley, but where else does it reach? It's monstrous.
It runs all the way north to Mount Lemmon, all the way south past Green Valley, includes all of Vail, Tanqueverty Valley, and heads all the way east to the Cochise County line, and then takes a big chunk of East Metro Tucson. So it's big and it's diverse and it's beautiful and it's the best district Pima County has.
Great. We'll leave that one to the readers and the listeners to decide. So we're going to talk about Prop 463. It's the road bond. I know that bonding is not your first choice for fixing the roads in Pima County. You've been pretty vocal about that. But this is what we have and this is the direction we're going. The question keeps coming up, but wait a minute, what's happening to all that HERF money that's coming into the county? Shouldn't our roads have been fixed over the past few years with that? We know that some of it has been swept, but not all of it. So give us kind of the rundown on the HERF and the VLT.
Well, as my constituents know, Dan, and you as well, have many conversations on this issue. My first plan, my first preference for road repair, I've always maintained should fall under the auspices and the administration of the Regional Transportation Authority. There's numerous reasons why the RTA should take over a transportation plan that would include maintenance and road repair. They've got a 12-year history of unparalleled success of enhancement and improvement in numerous, I think it's somewhere around 800 or 900 different projects that they've completed on time and under budget. It would make perfect sense since that framework is already in place that it just be included and enhanced for road repair and maintenance. The HERF monies, this has probably been discussed ad nauseum for months and even years about where the HERF money and VLT money goes. My best illustration is that through the budget process, roughly $47 million of the $85 to $95 million of HERF money that is designated for Pima County goes to the overhead salaries, overtime, health plans, et cetera, of the Pima County Department of Transportation. Another $27 or $28 million goes to the paying down or the repayment of the 97 HERF bonds. Then there's a sampling and a sprinkling of HERF monies that go into other areas like traffic signals, signs, guardrails, all the things that are usually knocked down or over or wear out that have to be constantly monitored for replacement. And then after that, monies that are left over are designated for maintenance and for repair. So, you know, we can argue all day about where that HERF money is coming from, what it's designated for, and who's receiving it. But that's in a nutshell is basically where that money comes and goes.
Well, you've been in office less than 2 years, so I'm not going to pin this to you. But did somebody not quite get it when they realized that the HERF money was either being swept or it's coming in, and most of it is going to staffing and it's not going to roads? I mean, at some point, someone had to realize that we were going to end up in a pinch, which is exactly where we are.
I'm certain that there was a realization at one point where people looked around and decided and saw and determined, oh my gosh, the monies we've been counting on from HERF and VLT to fix our roads is not there anymore for whatever assorted reasons there might be. I'm sure that was probably a eye-opener to many, many people in the county because they still had this bureaucracy of the Department of Transportation alive and kicking, and it needed a source of revenue to operate it and to fund it. But then in order to do that, the other end, which was its core mission, was severely stressed with either the sweeping or the reduction of HERF and VLT funds. And quite frankly, I don't think that bureaucracies, given the size and the entrenchment that they are, could adjust quickly enough to adapt to the deteriorating and crumbling condition of our roads. And
well, it's interesting you use that word bureaucracy. Do half that money is going to pay for, you know, staff, health care, pensions, whatever. Is it too much? Do we have too many people working for the transportation department because you're paying them all, but you don't have any money left to fix the roads?
Well, that certainly is a legitimate approach and a question that needs to be looked at into and answered. It certainly is part of what happens when a bureaucracy does become entrenched. We see a lot of folks retiring all the time from Pima County, employees. I sign retirement certificates by the dozen every month. And my first question is, just like when I ran my own business, is do the folks that are retiring or leaving for whatever reason, do they need to be replaced? I am in the process of trying to find out exactly, are those people being replaced that have been retired? And isn't it a good opportunity to see how well we can function by not replacing them? So that's an ongoing quest to try to find efficiency in county government, in any kind of governmental government. And I think it's a very difficult quest to get to the root cause of it because of the fact that this has been going on for decades.
And as you sign those certificates, these are people who are now off the payroll, but a lot of them are drawing pensions.
Exactly.
And so and a lot of communities across Arizona are finding themselves in a pinch.
And the country.
Pensions. Yes. And so this is just going to get worse. So now we come to Prop 463. Again, not your first way of wanting to handle this, but the half-cent sales tax did not pass muster. For what reason?
The Just Fix the Roads plan that I proposed back in October, almost a year ago, a little over a year ago to the date,
yes.
I brought forward my plan of just fixing the roads. The guts of it were that twofold. One, it would be a half-cent sales tax dedicated solely, primarily, and only for road repair and maintenance. That's A. And B, that the administration and the delivering of road repair and maintenance would be done by the Regional Transportation Authority and not the county. The reason why it failed is to enact a sales tax in the county requires a unanimous board vote, in this case 5-0. As things moved along, one supervisor decided that the folks from his community would be hard-pressed and wrongly burdened with a sales tax that he feels would hurt his community the most with a sales tax. So he implemented a kind of a caveat into this whole issue that I think it was a 10% or 20%. I think 10%.
Whatever it was too much.
Yeah, it was a lot. And it would be dedicated to social service agencies to be directed to help his community and not go to the roads. And then, on, of course, on the other side, another supervisor refused to go along with any tax of any kind. So basically, because of the supervisor that wanted to take monies from the tax revenue and apply them to social service agencies and not put that money to the roads, that's why I had to end up voting against my own plan, which became configured in a much different way than when I initially proposed it.
Wasn't your plan anymore.
It wasn't my plan anymore.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones real quick. Carl, you have a question about HERF percentages.
Yeah, you know, they keep kicking around, and I've heard that the fact only about a third of 1% of the total budget, and as part of that, I've heard over and over again from the various supervisors and the people that work with them there that the state took all the money or took half of the money or took over a quarter of the money in the HERF funds, which did not happen. It was significantly less than that. So how come there's this big to-do about the HERF money when it's really such a small percentage of the actual budget? And how come people are playing politics with it, saying it's untrue about how much was taken?
That's a terrific observation, and unfortunately, politics does come into it, and that's where the everything gets mired down into the details. Certainly. The question is, if we used the HERF funds for what their intended purpose is, which is to go to road repair, directly to road repair, we would have to have some sort of a key to the lockbox of the county budget that would reallocate monies within the budget to go to road repair. Now, what nobody has been able to come up with is a plan, a pathway of how do you get that key, and then how do you find the lockbox, and how do you unlock it, and how do you determine the monies in the budget available to go to road repair. No one has articulated that. We've heard things like, oh, we need to get a new board. We have to have the will to prioritize. Well, everybody keeps forgetting basic math. There are three Democrats and two Republicans, and have been running the board in that manner for a better part of a decade now, and certainly significantly in the last 6 to 7 years. And the math dictates that those on the board's majority think that the budget is just fine the way it is. They're very satisfied with the spending of the county, the prioritization of the county, and no one has come up with an idea or a pathway or a plan about how to get around the fact that they will circle the wagons around that budget to protect it from being, in their mind, molested to take monies to go to road repair, because they've prioritized in their own mind the way they want their budget spent and operated upon, and it leaves no room for anybody else to try to unlock that budget and get in there to make monies available for road repair.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back with Supervisor Steve Christie on the Buckmaster Show.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This is Dan Shear sitting in for Bill. This part of the show is brought to you by Green Things, which also is the home of Socolo Fine Mexican Imports. Socolo is at the 13-acre Green Things site on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, with all the great Socolo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. There's a link to Green Things and to the Socolo website at buckmastershow.com. We are talking to Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. We're talking about roads, and we're going to continue that. So at this point, we have Prop 463, which voters will see on November 6th. That is the road bond. Again, not your first choice of handling this. But earlier this year, there was an effort in the state legislature that would have allowed the Pima County Board to send to the voters a vote on a half-cent sales tax. And the reason we needed the legislature involved is because you needed to be able to do it without a unanimous vote.
For the RTA.
Correct. And you had mentioned that earlier. So let's say that the road bond passes in November, then the legislature, once again this next year, goes after this and actually passes it, and now you can send that to voters. We conceivably could end up with a half-cent sales tax plus hundreds of millions of dollars in road bonding. We're supposed to trust Pima County that they would suspend the sale of bonds, or it's putting potentially a lot of money into Pima County's hands.
Well, we have three things to deal with on that very legitimate point you make and a very legitimate question. One is, just because you are given the authorization by the public to issue road bonds or bonds of any kind, does not necessarily mean you have to. So if we have the ability legally to issue $430 million worth of bonds, that doesn't mean that in one fell swoop we issue $430 million in bonds. And to back that first proposition up, the second thing is there is not the capacity to deliver that kind of money for projects in Pima County. We don't have the contracting community and the road repair community in a position where they can handle much more than they're saying somewhere between $50 and $60 million a year. So there's no point of issuing bonds if they can't be utilized right away, because you're just paying interest on them and they're not going to any project that can be programmed in. So consequently, the stipulation is that we will not issue bonds until they can be used right away, and that is the capacity issue. The community that deals with contracting and paving, they can only produce and deliver and administrate so much money per year, which is roughly $50 million. So that's a safeguard as well. And third of all, I can address the very legitimate question that Pima County voters are facing about the trust and faith of Pima County being able to deliver a road repair project after the issuance of this bond proposal, this has been a passion of mine before I was elected during my campaign, that the RTA be the sole driving force of a road repair plan, and that it be enhanced and expanded to include road repair. So again, my personal driving passion, I think, will be in place where I will be watching very closely how this whole issue with getting the legislature to approve the RTA, and if hopefully they are able to pass the ability for the RTA to be expanded, that's going to be my big flag that I'm going to be carrying, that we stop the bond program. We don't need it, because now the RTA, which is the best choice overall, is in a position where they can take over and implement a road repair plan.
Okay, we're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. David from Marana. David, you have a question for Supervisor Christie.
Well, I have a comment. A couple of years ago, I went to the hearing where the widening Tangerine Road to Fulland Parkway, and we'll blow $100 million on that, and I told them they should make Marana pay for that entirely and use the money to fix our county roads instead.
Okay, so there's a question of jurisdiction then, Steve, and this money from the bond would actually be carved up and unincorporated Pima County would get some, but then places like Sahuarita or Ovalle Marana would also get pieces of it.
Yeah, and it's divided on two areas, property valuation and population, a combination of the two. So those two factors will determine jurisdictionally where and how much of that money goes. Marana does not have the property values or the population that the city of Tucson does, or even unincorporated Pima County. So their share will be more commensurate with what their property values and population are.
Okay, very good. I want to change the focus here for a moment, talk about Operation Stone Garden. This is a federal grant that, for the first time in more than a dozen years, Pima County turned down. It accepted it and turned it down and accepted it and finally turned it down.
Well, a number of years they accepted it.
Correct.
But since last February, they've done that routine that you just expressed.
Yeah, and you were very vocal in not being real happy about it. We spoke last week to Sheriff Mark Napier, and he's in the process of applying for Operation Stone Garden money for 2019. He is undeterred. Like I said, we've been receiving it for years. We've received dozens of grants from them. Why do you think Sheriff Napier is going after this, and what are the chances that we're going to secure it?
Well, obviously, first of all, the HHS and the government are providing this money to the law enforcement community to assist them in combating very dangerous criminal elements and activities along the border. So it makes perfect sense that our sheriff be very involved in receiving those grants, because like any federal grant, if you don't utilize them or accept them, they're going to go away and somebody else is going to get them. And Sheriff Napier has been extremely passionate and articulate about the needs of that money and how helpful it is in what he has to do as far as law enforcement. So I've been a strong proponent of accepting this grant when it first came up last February. I've always voted to accept it. I was the lone vote in the Board of Supervisors meeting when they rejected it. And then I came back with my own plan that I worked with Sheriff Napier on to remove the politics and the authority of the board to determine whether or not a sheriff who makes the determination as the chief law enforcement agent of Pima County, if he or she feels that, that this is the, in the best interest of public safety, he or she should have the right, the sheriff should have the right to make that determination without any interference from the Board of Supervisors. So,
okay, but that resolution was shot down.
It was shot down, and Sheriff Napier has made it clear he's going to go after the new funds, and he has, I think, a roadmap how he thinks he can do that, and I'm going to give him my full support and backing.
Okay, very good. We have been talking to Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie from District 4. Thank you for coming in and talking to us.
Thanks for having me. Always great to be with you, Dan.
Okay, I'm going to be back in this seat on Friday as we speak to Jim Small, who has launched a new media outlet called Arizona Mirror. Jim is one of the finest journalists in the state, so you are really going to enjoy that. On behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show, you make it a great rest of your Monday.